Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you today. Well, in the past 3 years, the number of homegrown militia groups in the United States has more than tripled. That's according to the Department of Homeland Security. Today, there are more than 300 militia groups in the U.S. Now, most are benign. Some just do military-style drills. Many of them are inclined to make big plans and not necessarily take any illegal action. But when these heavily armed groups do act, the consequences can be serious and immediate. And in the latest issue of The New Yorker, journalist Nadia Labi profiles a group called FEAR. That's Forever Enduring, Always Ready. It's a group based out of Fort Stewart in Georgia. Led by a disgruntled and charismatic army private named Isaac Agigi, FEAR became a haven for disaffected soldiers until one of its members was discovered dead alongside the girlfriend of another member, shot execution style, just 20 miles from Fort Stewart. Nadia Labi joins me now. Hi, Nadia.
Hi, Todd.
You wrote about the rise of militia groups in the U.S. since President Obama took office. And the implication there is that a lot of people were angry at having a black president or a president they disagreed with vehemently on political grounds and started amassing guns and glomming together.
Certainly a factor is Obama's race. Another factor is that he was viewed as anti-gun, and people were very concerned about that. That combined with the weak economy, all of these factors, according to experts, have led to an explosion in the number of militia groups.
Now, in the story that you tell about Isaac Agigi and the FEAR group that I mentioned, you talk about how all of the members were active military. One of the most disturbing parts of this story of a militia group is that they weren't former soldiers. They were active duty soldiers on a base.
Exactly. And that's unusual, I'm told, among militia groups. Usually members might have former military training, but they're not serving in the military at the time that they're involved in the militia. In this case, they were all active soldiers. Many of them were getting into repeated trouble on base and serving sort of the military's version of detention. They were serving extra duty, having to do various tasks, you know, clean around the base, do all the things that no one wants to do. But they were very involved in the military, and many of them had deployed and returned from Iraq or Afghanistan.
One can be pretty surprised reading that a person like Isaac Agigi, as charismatic and bright as he is, was able to basically amass a militia group under the nose of the military when he was suspected of lots of malfeasance. I would have thought that the military had a pretty tight control on this type of behavior of its troops.
It is certainly disturbing, and it seems that with Isaac Agigi, there were certainly lots of red flags about his misbehavior. Even before he ended up in the Army, he had been enrolled at the prep school for West Point, and he ended up getting kicked out of there for getting into an altercation with his roommate and threatening his roommate. So even before he enlisted, there were signs that this guy might be trouble. And when he was in the Army, he quickly started on a downward spiral. He began collecting alcohol and drug violations. And then his wife, Deirdre, died under various mysterious circumstances, and he became a suspect in her death.
Nadia Labi, you describe Isaac Agigi in a way that just reads like a classic cult leader. He's smart, he's charismatic, he's emotionally manipulative, he's all of those things, and he really brought those to bear in a situation that wasn't religious as much as it was patriotic and heavily armed.
Exactly. I mean, this guy, Isaac Agigi, was only 19 years old. And yet, despite being so young, he was able to get soldiers who were much older than he to follow him. And that was largely due, as you said, to his charisma. It also helped that he had inherited $500,000 after his wife's death, and he was able to spend lavishly and take his friends to strip clubs and buy them drinks and do all kinds of generous things for them. And so that increased his profile, and people were drawn to him.
Indeed, the $500,000 that you mentioned was the death benefit that the Army paid him because his wife was also active duty.
Well, that's the irony. His wife, as I said, died under these mysterious circumstances. He became a suspect in her death. And at the same time as he was a suspect, he was able to inherit all this money and benefit from her death. And ultimately, that helped him to build his group.
So eventually, one of the members of Fear was found dead alongside the girlfriend of another member in the woods. And all of this made me wonder if the military could have prevented all of this if they'd paid more attention to what was going on.
There are some disturbing suggestions that, for example, Isaac Igigi, there's evidence that he was bribing one of his superiors. And in exchange for giving this superior money, he was able to get out of various tasks that he was supposed to do. When Isaac Igigi went on leave in the fall of 2011, he bought more than $30,000 worth of guns and military supplies. And that came to the attention of local authorities and ultimately the FBI and Army authorities. Despite that, he was able to continue collecting guns, to continue influencing other soldiers, and ultimately to encourage and order his underlings to kill, as you said, the one member and his girlfriend.
Now, back in 2009, Nadia Labi, the Department of Homeland Security issued a report that warned specifically that returning soldiers from Iraq and Afghanistan might be fertile targets for extremist groups. They're trained, they might be depressed, they might have PTSD, they may be disaffected, and they're heavily armed. Now, that report met a lot of opposition from people who said, "You're maligning troops."
It did indeed. And ultimately, the DHS, I think, backed away slightly from that report. But I spoke with the expert who wrote the report, and he very much stands by what he said and maintains that it's a very, very small percentage of soldiers, obviously, who will be drawn to militias, and an even smaller percentage who might be willing to commit violent acts. But it's a risk.
Nadia Labi writes in The New Yorker this week, and she has the story of one militia group that was founded and grown on a military base in Georgia by a very charismatic and young soldier named Isaac Igigi. Nadia Labi, thank you.
Thank you very much.